Okay, looks like we have everyone. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
All right, so my understanding is the purpose of today was simply to confirm readiness for the motion for summary judgment. So I'll let the parties let me know where they are and if they're still ready to proceed or if things are on track or if any amendments need to be made to the timetable.
Did you get the two emails that I included when I was requesting confirmation of this case conference?
Oh, is this Sean?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
I'm well. I've been better, to be honest with you. But I included two notices that were last served on the opposing counsel. I basically placed them on notice of civil and criminal liability one last time and said that I want them to provide proof of service of the Casello endorsement or confess to the court that Jenny Bogod and Susan Sachs perpetrated fraud on the court in their testimony and that Sean had no knowledge of the estate proceedings whatsoever at the time that he filed the claim. Now, they haven't replied at all to that. They didn't provide any court of record for this. I don't have any court of record. Like, we would think that if due process was had in an estate application, I wouldn't have to be asking these people for proof of an endorsement, for a copy of the endorsement, or anything else. I should have been served those documents in the court process itself. They don't have proof of service of any of those documents because Halitabel and Michelle Murphy of the Bracebridge Courthouse were colluding together to deprive me of my right to participate in my father's estate proceeding, prevent my testimony from being heard, and those are serious criminal charges. I outlined exactly the criminal code under Canada that they would be guilty of, and frankly, I don't mind telling you that I contacted David Lametti this morning to let him know about this because of the Crown's involvement at the Bracebridge Courthouse, and I've basically been CCing him on all of my correspondences with the Bracebridge Courthouse since our last case conference meeting. They can't provide me with any information of an estate application. So
Sean, to answer your question, I did not get the email that you sent.
Okay.
But why don't I let Mr. Milton or Mr. Chrisman Cox let me know where things stand?
Your Honor, I'll speak to the matter first.
Okay.
So, where things stand, my client has filed his motion record.
Mm-hmm.
The summary judgment motion.
Mm-hmm.
I understand Ms. Johnson has also filed her motion record. We don't have to date any proper responding materials from the plaintiff.
I'm going to object because that is gaslighting. That is gaslighting. I told them that I require proof of service of the Casello endorsement on Sean, or I require you to admit that you are colluding in perpetrating fraud on the court, because Michael Von Den knows damn well that I had no knowledge of any estate application. And for you to say that being placed on notice of civil and criminal liability for failing to answer to that, failing to answer to my reply factum, first of all, because you haven't done that yet either, and simultaneously suggest that you didn't receive an appropriate response? I told you that I'm not going to respond to an affidavit of entirely new information that I'm being ambushed with again. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to present me with a whole bunch of new information that I had no knowledge of.
Sean, let's... I assure you, I'll give you a chance to respond, but I want to hear what Mr. Chrisman Cox said. So we had a let me pull out actually the my prior endorsement. For a motion for summary judgment, I scheduled on September 7th. the defendants had until February 28th to file their notice of motion and their affidavits. And so Mr. Crispin Cox, you said this was done.
That step was completed, yes.
Okay.
And that's the part I'm complaining about, because again, it's nothing. Like, I don't understand how this is supposed to be working from their perspective. I'm asking for a very specific thing from them that could easily be answered straight up right now. Christopher Crispin Cox, if they're not guilty of anything, Your Honor, he should be able to tell me when I was served with any of those documents in the estate application. It's a very straightforward question.
Yeah, I just don't, you're talking about one thing and I'm talking about another.
And that's the problem, is that the real issue here is I'm the one bringing the claim, I'm the one asking for the information, and they're the ones not giving it to me and giving me irrelevant information instead through this court process. And that, I believe, to be an abuse of the court process. I'm entitled to all this information anyway.
So in there is a schedule which contemplated cross-examinations, which would have allowed you to ask any relevant questions.
Well, this is just it, and you would think that if he's saying that he didn't receive any appropriate documents, a notice of civil and criminal liability, even if it's an email, if he doesn't feel that's an appropriate document, and for whatever reason thinks that there's content in it that, you know, he doesn't want to respond to or can't respond to or wishes for me to address in a different way, I mean, there's ultimate ways to go about doing that. You don't just ignore the email altogether and not provide a reply, which is what has happened. They haven't responded to anything since then.
Okay, let's let Mr. Crispin Cox finish what he started. So you've provided your materials. You said you didn't receive appropriate materials, or?
Well, we haven't received a responding motion record.
Okay.
So what we have received is various emails and documents alleging all manner of things against any person in any way connected with this case, but no true responding motion record. So that's where things stand at the moment. We're in a position to proceed with the summary judgment motion. I understand my friend is as well. The next deadline, I believe, would be providing a factum by August 17th.
Mm-hmm.
But we're prepared to proceed with that. But that's the situation as it stands. There's motion records that have been filed, and there's not responding materials filed.
And the issue again, Mr. Respectfully, Your Honor, is that in their materials that they have recently just presented to me, it is just a continuation of the same fraudulent claim that they've made initially. And so,
But Sean, if that's the case, and I you don't know one way or another, but if that's the case, then the onus is on you to prove that there is a fraud.
That's what I'm saying, Your Honor, is that is the proof. The fact of the matter is, there is no court of record for this estate application confirmed by the Bracebridge Courthouse, confirmed by the Minister of Justice and Attorney General, and confirmed by the Ottawa Courthouse. I know there's no court of record for this. They are trying to gaslight a self-presented litigant into believing that due process was had in an estate application, that Tanya Johnson was duly appointed a certificate of estate trustee, when no such thing has taken place.
Okay, so the onus would have been on you to have an affidavit that says what your position is.
I have done that in the reply factum, and they have not responded to a single legal or lawful argument in that reply factum, which is why I'm saying this is redundant. They've already ignored legal and lawful arguments that I have made in compliance with the rules of civil procedure, complied with all of the deadlines, uploaded them to Caselines, had a hearing where every single argument that is a fact and shown to be fact on the court of record was ignored in favor of lies that are unsubstantiated by any evidence. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Okay. Mr. Milton?
Your Honor, I'm in complete agreement with Mr. Crispin Cox, but to be very specific about it, there's actually no onus on Sean.
Right.
The onus is on us to prove our motion. If we haven't succeeded, our motions will be dismissed.
No, it's so, your onus to prove that your accusations against me are true. If you're going to defame my character and characterize this claim as being a colossal attack on the justice system, the onus of that accusation of proof is on you, my accuser, to make that point. You will not make lies about me on a court of record and let those stand.
Yeah, sorry. Just one person at a time. It has to proceed orderly. Every party has an obligation to put their best foot forward on a motion for summary judgment.
There's no best foot forward on an entirely fraudulent statement. There's no estate application. There was no due process had. That's why we're here, and my sister is still withholding funds under threat of further economic harm if I don't agree to withdraw this claim. And they refuse to produce any of the information to support their accusations against me. I haven't attacked any of the characters. I haven't said that they're making colossal attacks on Canada's judicial system. They're making those accusations against me in retaliation to this claim. And they are not substantiating those allegations, and they are using those false allegations to manipulate justice.
So that's something you'll be able to argue at the hearing. Today, the purpose...
This is unbelievable. It should be as easy as looking up the court of record for this file, knowing there's no estate application, and that they are claiming it to be an estate, an attack on due process.
Sean, I'm not. I'm just trying to be helpful here. I'm not the motions judge. That's why I'm saying.
But if you're not putting a stop to the fraud that's already been perpetrated, then you're not actually helping anybody. You're allowing the harm to continue until September 7th.
Everyone's entitled to their day in court, and then there will be a day in court, and then they'll have a chance to make their argument, and you'll have a chance to make yours.
Well, why don't they just make it today, though, if they had an argument to make? Isn't the case conference to weigh the strengths and weaknesses of each person's case?
No.
I thought that was the whole point.
No, that's not the point at all.
Really?
The point is really procedural. The point was I set a timetable, and I wanted to make sure, like, for example, if one party was sick and couldn't finish something by a certain date and they wanted an adjustment, that's the point of today.
But I did ask you in the last case conference that I said, and I was very specific on this one point. I said, look, they're making accusations. This was before the ruling came down by Casullo, that this claim is a colossal attack on the Casullo endorsement. I said, if any of these parties are going to make that accusation and or not concede right now that they know I had no knowledge of that endorsement, then I am going to be asking for those documents, priority, proof of service of that Casullo endorsement, and I want you to require them to produce that in a reasonable period of time. I've been asking for those documents specifically from every courthouse and from every single one of the respondents to this claim. No one wishes to produce it. No one wishes to admit that the entire testimony is fraud, and yet they know that it is.
So you can ask the court to draw an adverse inference from any document that should have been produced that was not produced, okay? But let me finish with Mr. Milton. Go ahead, Mr. Milton.
There is nothing standing between here and the next step, which is delivery of our factums.
Okay.
And so there's no reason to depart from the timetable that was set out there. Those were not mandatory requirements with respect to the respondent on the motion. They were optional. I should point out, Your Honor, that there has been a prior summary judgment motion in this matter, and the factual record was essentially the same. And particularly, there was no responding affidavit from the respondent to the motion.
Okay.
So we're in good shape here. There's nothing to see, nothing to do, and we should proceed to step 7 on the timetable.
Okay. All right, so Sean, on the 17th of August, you're going to get their factum, okay? The moving party's factum.
I want to just make it real clear right now. I'm not really interested in receiving their factum if it does not include proof of service of the Casolo endorsement from any one of these parties.
Well,
because this court is not going to use the rules of civil procedure as a cloak for fraud and pretend that they don't have to answer a very simple question because of some kind of procedural rule. Okay?
But there's no procedural.
I'm reporting a criminal. Offense.
Yeah, Sean, I'm trying to just go over this endorsement. The way it works, okay, is a summary judgment motion. They have to convince the court, the moving parties, not you, they, that there is no genuine issue requiring a trial. Okay, they have to show that the outcome of this trial is basically certain based on the evidence that they're gonna present. You have a chance to respond to that. Now, if you're saying that there's documents missing, that you can say to the court, well, look, if there was no genuine issue requiring a trial, this document would have been produced, and so there is a genuine issue for trial, and their motion should be dismissed. You're going to have that opportunity on August 31st when your factum is due, okay? So that's the process. You know, I didn't create it. That's just the way it is, and there is a chance for you to make your point heard. There is a chance for the defendants to make their points heard, and then there will be a judge who will hear you both and come up with a decision.
And so, let me just ask you, I can't order
people to start delivering documents.
But you understand what due process of law is, right? You understand that within a process there can be a process, right? This is a lawsuit that I brought.
Mm-hmm.
The harm that's been done to me now is greater than that which had been done to me before, because now they're making new accusations against me. They've succeeded in convincing a judge of something that's completely false and impossible. And so I place them on notice for the additional harm based on the new information that they've provided to me and said, look, this is going to be the consequence if you don't do this by this particular date, and I'm going to be asking for default judgment to be awarded against you accordingly. If you do not respond, I'm perceiving that to be a tacit conceding to these charges, because if you don't defend against them and you don't respond, that is what it's generally considered to be to a notice as a tacit concession.
So this is considerably beyond the scope of this case conference.
Well, it shouldn't be, because this is a common law jurisdiction, and they were like lawfully served in due process, and really all I should need to do is file those documents with the court, show that they were served with notice of civil and criminal liability, that default judgment was awarded against them in terms and conditions that they knew were going to be binding upon them, and advised in clear, plain English that that was going to be the consequence for not producing those documents. And now they want to say, no, we're going to stonewall you for as long as we want. Use the court process to delay you getting your... They're deliberately doing this to cause as much financial harm to me as they possibly can.
So I heard you, and I think your arguments, you'll have to make them to the court on the day of the motion, which is September 7th.
Well, respectfully, I honestly don't think you're hearing me. Because I think if you
I do, but I also recognize the limits of my jurisdiction. Right now, all I have is a case conference with respect to a summary judgment motion, and I'm only, you know, I don't have any more power than that. All I'm doing is making sure that the process is being followed.
Well, that's interesting, because
I've filed their materials on time.
The rules say you have all kinds of powers in case conference, and that you can actually decide all matters related to the case. I'm pretty sure I was just reading that on Canley a little while ago. Or is this case conference different? You don't have that power in this particular case conference.
I don't have any power to decide all issues, including criminal liability for...
You do, because you're a court of inherent jurisdiction, which means you inherit whatever jurisdiction of law is required to provide relief and remedy, and that is a requirement of the Superior Court, or you not think it is.
I hear you, but there's still a process that has to be followed.
And that's what I'm saying, is that you're the officer of the court, and I'm the self-presenting man advising you of a crime, and that my sister is in possession of a stolen property, fraudulent certificate, and as an officer of the court, you don't feel that you have any obligation morally or ethically to take action and actually do the process that's required to hold it. No, that's fine. I'm just making my point clear to you, because this is on a public record, and I think that this is absolutely ridiculous. It really is.
Okay.
So thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you. Have a great day.
You too. So I'll confirm the motion to proceed and then the timelines.
And that's me out.